And let's run over to the book of Exodus, chapter number 38. And looking forward to seeing what the good Lord's got for us here. Amen. Let's see. Uncle Dougie's up right now. Hey. Yeah, I certainly did mention you there, Uncle Dougie. You and Aunt Kathy as well, when we first opened up in prayer, they are having to battle the COVID. So keep them in your prayers as well, please. Certainly do love them. And Brother Phil Skipper as well. Keep seeing the updates on him there on Facebook, and he's getting stronger. So we're very grateful for this. We know that it can be overcome. So let's just keep everybody in your prayers, all this illness that's going around there, and a whole lot of stuff that's taking place. It's not beyond God. Amen. We can get through this. We just need to lean upon the Lord and see what He's got for us. Amen. So let me make sure I got this other thing going here. Yes, I do. Very good. All right. Exodus chapter number 38. And let's skip down here to verse number 25. And we are continuing here in Exodus. I'm hoping to be able to finish off our sermons here in Exodus in the next couple of weeks. Haven't done them in a while, but really interested in doing this, and the good Lord pointed this out to me as I began reading through chapter 38, and I hope what we've got here today can be a help and a blessing to you as well. So Exodus 38, verse number 25, the Bible says, "And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,700 and 15 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. A becca for every man, that is, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket." Those sockets, in other words, we're talking about the blocks that were going to be used in the construction of the tabernacle that were going to support the boards, the walls. With that being in mind, what we'd like to do is bring our sermon this morning on this thought of the silver foundation. The silver foundation. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. Help us, Lord, please, to present the sermon the way that you'd have us to, that it would be a help and to each and every one that is listening here, and a light to the lost. Again, Father, we do ask you, Lord, for those who are battling illness and this COVID mess and all these other diseases and problems that are going out there, for your strength and help and for your healing. Pray, Father, especially for the healing for our country. We are ripping ourselves apart here with all this hatred and distrust and everything that's just being generated, the exact opposite of what we need. Help us, Father, please, as you're the only one who can. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are asking you all this. Amen and amen. All right, so when you get down and you start going through the construction of the tabernacle itself here that the Israelites were to build after they left Egypt and before they were able to go into Canaan land, there were 3 precious metals that God had them use in the construction of the tabernacle: gold, silver, and brass. Of the 3 of them, it totaled right around 8 tons. Now, of course, 8 is the number for a new beginning, and they certainly were having a new beginning, leaving Exodus, getting ready to go there into the Promised Land. But of that 8 tons, nearly half of it came from one metal, silver. Now, it seems kind of strange, because you would think God and His glory, His majesty, Israel was going into a theocracy. In other words, they weren't going to have a king. They were supposed to have one single God. So you would think that it'd be mostly gold. But the fact of the matter is, though, that it actually wasn't mostly gold. Brass speaks of judgment. And certainly the whole business of the tabernacle, with the sacrifices that were being made there and the blood having to be placed there in the Holy of Holies there on the mercy seat, a lot of judgment going on, because all of that, what it did was it referenced Jesus and his coming and dying there on the cross. And certainly God's judgment was going to be poured out there upon Jesus there at the cross. So, you know, the brass fits in, okay, fine. But why not more gold so than the silver? Well, number one, keep in mind that God has a tendency to prefer the second over the first. Okay, the second Adam, Jesus, is preferred over the very first Adam. So on and so forth here. And it's more of what the silver represents. Now, the Israelites, before I get into what it represents and all that, the Israelites, of course, they got all of this treasure, all the gemstones, all the fabrics, all the precious metals that were going to be used for the tabernacle, for the priest's robes, and all the service and all this stuff there. They got it when they left Egypt. They spoiled the Egyptians after that 10th plague. The Egyptians loved silver more so than gold. It's how they were. To them, silver was more valuable. And God used the things of this world, the Egyptians' love for silver, to set up the tabernacle the way that he wanted it set up, because silver represents redemption. It represents a ransom that has been paid for somebody there. And of course, Jesus dying upon the cross, he was that ransom price that was paid. He is the redemption that our souls needed to get us out of hell. All we've got to do is accept his promise of his perfect salvation, and he'll save us. So, despite gold being for royalty, the silver was more important. And that's why we want to look here this morning at the silver foundation. And I want to show you three things here this morning about what the silver foundation does. Okay? excuse me. Number one, I want you to notice some of the properties of the pure silver. Subpoint A, subpoint 1, however you want to phrase it there if you're taking notes. It reflects... Pure silver reflects 95% of the light spectrum. True story. Now, with the silver being down there at ground level, okay, what it means then is that all the light that's there inside of the holy place, all the lights that are there inside of the holiest of holies, it's reflecting that light. So is that there is no dark spots anywhere inside of those two rooms. You see, God is light. There in him dwelleth no darkness whatsoever. So if he's going to be in there, and this is the only way to get through, that this was the only way the high priest was going to be able to come and bring in that blood there on the Day of Atonement to roll back the sins of Israel another year. It had to be completely light. And that light was shining all around, not because there were so many candles burning, but because the light was being reflected off the ground. Kind of think about it like this, a little bit, you know, very loosely here. You go to a movie theater. It's dark in there, but what do? They've got those rope lights along the ground there so that you could see where it is that you're going. In this particular case, you've got nothing but light here. And absolutely no darkness whatsoever because of pure silver. Now, the Bible tells us there in John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Remember, Jesus is the one who paid our ransom. Jesus is the one who brought us our redemption. So, we get saved. Guess what? We are now reflecting his light because we are evident symbols of his redemption there. And we are able to show a lost and dying world the darkness that they are in. And the path to come to God is through his way of redemption. I want you to know that the silver here, it also is used medicinally. There are creams out there that you get that have silver mixed into them. And the silver helps battle certain types of bacteria. If you're diabetic, for example, you'll know that the doctor will prescribe you this Silverdyne cream. And in the open wounds on your feet, because your feet are inside of socks, they're inside of shoes, they're dealing with pressure from you walking on them all day long, you need to get those sores closed up. Those wounds need to be closed if they are left open, if they are left exposed. Bacteria gets in there. The bacteria then keeps you from healing. The bacteria makes things degenerate, gets worse. The silver cream gets in there and it cleanses. It purifies the wound and allows it to heal like it's supposed to. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word cleanse means to purge. And that's what the silver cream is doing. It is purging there. And that silver redemption, that silver foundation tells us that the sins have been purged away and that we have the ability to go to heaven because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Not because of something that I've done. No, my righteousness is as filthy rags. It's His righteousness. There is none righteous, no, not one. But the righteousness is imputed to me, placed into my account because of Jesus Christ. That's the purging that the silver does. But then there's also the fact that one of the properties of silver is that it is the most conductive metal out there. Okay? Computers. Well, let's look at computers. If you're watching this, you are watching this on a computer, whether it is on a desktop, a laptop, or your smartphone, it's still a computer. Okay? Copper wires conduct electricity very nicely. Gold conducts electricity even better. And I remember the first time my dad had to go out and buy an HDMI cable to hook up something. I forget what it was. If it was a regular TV or... I think it was a regular TV. And he saw how much it was. And he asked me, why in the world is it so expensive? What is it, made of gold? I said, yeah. Literally, it's made of gold. Because gold conducts electricity so much better than copper. But silver does an even better job. And of course, if you are wanting to do something with a computer, you want your computer to be as fast as it can be. Because you want the message to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. You hit that button to log on the internet. What do you want, church? You want to get online. Any of you from the 90s, you remember that loud noise the modem would make. And you're sitting there and you can work a crossword puzzle while you're waiting to get online. If you didn't have to go through it, count your lucky stars. But when you go to push that button now to get on the internet, you want it like that. You don't want to wait. You shouldn't have to wait. Silver wiring will allow you to get on quick like that. Okay? We want to get the message across. And we want it to be as fast as possible. We want it to be as accurate as possible. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? In other words, point A, got to get over here to point B. It's got to be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's the message getting across there, church, is that we are preaching the gospel of peace, not peace for this world, this world's doomed. They can have all the false peace they want. This is the peace of God. This is the peace that passes understanding. This is the peace that you can have with Jesus Christ, that you can have with God Almighty, that you ain't going to have to worry about dying and going to hell because you have been saved by His precious grace, and that you can let the world know that, yes, indeed, you can too be saved. Those who preach the gospel, it doesn't just have to be the man up there behind the pulpit. It could be the man, woman, or child, young or old, fat, skinny, rich, poor, whoever it is that goes out there and says, hey, do you know that Jesus Christ loves you? That He died to save your soul from eternity in hell? And He wants to save you? You just became a messenger delivering the message. because you have been redeemed. You're silver. And now someone else is able to get what you've got. That's the properties of pure silver there, church. May I say that there's also the procuring of this silver here. Now, where did they get the silver? This very specific silver used for the foundation. Well, we see here in verse number 25, and the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation. So, what do you mean they were numbered of the congregation? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Let's flip back over there to Exodus chapter number 30 real quick. See if I can keep my bookmark in place. Amen. Exodus chapter number 30. And let's read verses 11 through 16. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom, a redemption for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And in half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. That's where that money came from that they are using here. Now, ladies, sorry, I do apologize. This was a couple of years before Women's Lib, and so it's a patriarchal society that we are dealing with here. In other words, it's just the men that are being talked about. No women were going out to war. Sorry, Mulan, you weren't going to be fighting in this, even dressed up like a man. Not happening. This was only those men who were 20 years old and above, and the census meant, okay, these are the people who are old enough that they can pick up a sword and shield and go out and fight. Okay, what they are doing here is they are being brought into God's covenant. God is agreeing to bring them in. Yes, they were God's chosen people, but this is a system that He had placed so that they understand they are a part of this. It means actually having a least little bit of ownership over something. That you can actually sit here and say, I truly have a part in this. Means something. It means more than just, I'm here. Take, for example, church membership. You can attend church next 20 years. Oh, this is my church. But if your name is not on the roll of that church, you don't feel as attached. Just being honest here. But if you've gone before the church and you've asked to join the church, now this is my church. Same thing, you can look at it that way. A very simple form, but you can look at it that way there. Now what God is doing here though is He's taking that money that's being placed to the side there. And this isn't just going to go into any old nook and cranny of the tabernacle. This money has been set aside very specifically for that silver foundation that's going to be used there for the walls, for the holy place and the holy of holies. This ransom, this redemption price, it had to be paid in order to be a part of God's covenant with the people. Now, in order for us to be a part of God's family, a redemption price had to be paid. Jesus Christ, I've said it already, I'm going to say it again. He paid the ransom for us there on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Now, how is it then that I can possibly be a part of His family if He paid the redemption price? I'm glad you asked. You see, each one... See if I can pull it out here real quick. Each one of those Israelites brought him a silver coin. half a shekel of Becca. And he had to turn it in there for the offering. Not one single Israelite, elementally created that piece of silver. Not one. But he had it to give. Watch it now, church. Watch it. It's good. It's good. Not one of us, not one of us, created our salvation. Not one of us had anything to do with making our salvation. It was only Jesus. Remember, Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's the second member of the Trinity. So how then is it that I would have silver to turn in to be redeemed? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It ain't the grace that's the gift of God in that verse, it's the faith. He gives you the faith to turn around and give it back to Him. Will you please save me? It's that simple. You don't create the silver. You simply say, here it is, Lord. Would you save me? Ain't God wonderful? And everyone had to give the same amount. The rich had to give a Becca. The poor had to give a Becca. The old had to give a Becca. The 20-year-old had to give a Becca. Didn't matter. Why? Because like Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, for all have sinned. Let me read that again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. No one showed up there that day and said, hey, I got me a bag full of shekels. In fact, I got 60 shekels in here. It means I can redeem 120 people. How about it? Uh-uh. They only got to pay for themselves. I can't win. I can't sit here and say, well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and now all 30 of these people are saved as well. It don't work that way, church. It never has, never will. And every time you read there in the book of Acts, when it talks about someone, Lydia, for example, that she believed in her whole house and was saved, it does not mean that because she believed her whole house was saved, it means that simply that she was the prominent one, she was the first one who got saved, and the rest was like, you know, that does make a lot of sense. I want to get saved too. Jesus, will you save me? They got saved for themselves. That's how that works, their church. It is an individual thing. No one is born saved. We are all born lost. No one can be saved because of who they know. They can't be saved because of who their grandfather was, who their grandmother was. They can't be saved because of a church they go to. They can't be saved because of a denomination they go to. They cannot be saved because this person is in charge, this person's in the White House, whatever the case is. You can only be saved because you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from eternity in hell, and it has nothing to do with you other than you putting your faith into Him and understanding that you are lost and you are bound for hell and you deserve that hell because of your sin, because He's a thrice holy God. But if you'll ask, He'll do. Amen. Real quickly here, the third part I want you to notice is the placement of that silver. I love this part, church. You see, generally speaking, we don't know how much a talent was. I've read anywhere from 75 pounds to 125 pounds. So we're just going to take the average of 100 pounds here for one talent of silver. That means that those blocks of silver weighed 100 pounds each. Their own weight would help keep them there on the ground. They weren't going to be kicked over. They were down, and that was the end of the subject until someone picked them up. Window wasn't going to do nothing. Their weight was going to help stabilize the gold boards that were going to be placed in there to form the walls. Now, each board was a cubit and a half, or 27 inches wide. Basically as wide as I am here, okay? Each socket was 3/4 of a cubit. In other words, they were, 13 and a half inches wide. So it took 2 sockets to hold 1 board. 2 shoulders to support. Think about Jesus hanging there on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, he had those nails there in his hands and in his feet. But it's just the shoulders that were pulling up and releasing. Pulling up so he could take in a breath. Coming down so he could release the breath over and over again. It's the work of the shoulders. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am lowly of heart. The yoke comes on the shoulders of the animal. Jesus is our redemption. Now these silver sockets that form the foundation, the silver foundation here. Church, they weren't placed on concrete. They were placed on the ground. Basically, they were placed on top of dirt. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7 tells us that God made man out of the dust of the ground. Out of dirt. Gold, as we said at the very beginning, represents royalty. It talks about God. And the boards weren't laying horizontally. No, they were standing vertically there. As if God was coming down. But God didn't come down there to the dirt. See, he told Moses that no man can look upon his face and live. If God had come down to the dirt, they'd have all died. He came down as far as the silver. 2 shoulders came down to Jesus. Jesus was the go-between. The silver was the go-between between the dirt, the dirty dirt, and the golden boards, the holy boards there. Jesus is our go-between. He stands between us. He stands there in the gap to bridge the gap between man and God Himself. Hebrews chapter number 9. Let me read verse 14 and 15 for you. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, He is the mediator, the go-between, the intercessor of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption, there it is, church, the ransom of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Let me turn back there to Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The silver didn't become dirt. The silver was still precious. Gold is the number one metal of value. God the Father. Silver was the number two metal of value. God the Son. He's that go-between. The placement was very specific there because it protected the dirt from the gold and allowed the gold to come down. God Himself came down wrapped in a robe of flesh there on that first Christmas morning. Endured everything this world had to offer for the next 33 years to pay a sin debt He did not owe for you and me. Oh, church, I needed that. That silver bore the weight of the gold boards. It bore the weight of God's judgment, of God's righteousness that we rightly deserved, so that you and I can go free. Oh, yes. But I want you to notice lastly here in that placement of the silver. When you look downward upon the construction of the tabernacle, you see how it goes up one wall, across and down the other wall, but that other short wall there, the entrance. There was no silver sockets there. Those sockets were made of brass. Remember, we said brass represents judgment. Because there was only one way into heaven. The only way you were going to get into heaven is by Jesus Christ. He said there in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You had to go by way of the judgment that was brought down upon Jesus Christ there on the cross of Calvary. To try to go into the Holy of Holies or the Holiest of Holies any other way meant that you would have to step on the silver foundation. You would have to step on the redemption of God Almighty. Ain't gonna do it. We could try to sneak into heaven any way we want. We could try to sneak in with our money. We could try to sneak in with our church membership. We could try to sneak in by saying we are a great Catholic. We are a great Baptist. We are a great Pentecostal. We are a great Church of God. Whatever the case is there. We could try to sneak in any other way. And all you're going to be doing is trampling upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you are going to find out one day when your time comes, you are going to split hell wide open. And that the only way that you could possibly have been saved was going by Jesus Christ, His way. Anything else falls straight short, straight into hell. God said there, for God so loved the world. And yeah, I said God because Jesus is God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That's the only way, church. You must come His way. Allow Him to be your silver foundation. I want to ask you just one question here in closing this morning. Have you accepted Jesus Christ's ransom payment for you? In other words, is He your silver foundation? Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. And for each and every one that tuned in here today or be listening later on in sermon audio, that they will hear exactly what it is that they need. And if they need to be saved, and they understand they need to be saved, but they still just need to talk to someone about it, I'd be more than happy to do whatever I can. Show them how it is that they too can be saved. But we're so thankful, Father, You've made it that simple. That all we have to do is understand that we are sinners, that we deserve hell. But Jesus paid that price if we will just come and put our faith and trust in Him and ask Him to save us. That You have promised that whosoever shall call upon Your name, You will save. Thank You, Father. Thank You. That's it for now, Lord. We'll talk to You a little bit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right.